Welcome back, Sam.
Can you believe we've done 24 episodes of these?
I know, that's as many episodes as there is races this season.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Dom, that is.
That was a happy accident, that was.
That was a happy accident, sorry. Just apart somebody's trying to sell me commercial business finance. Anyway, welcome back to Box, Box, Box. This is a very calm start to the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite nice and tame.
Yeah.
Do you know what wasn't tame?
Austrian Grand Prix.
The Austrian Grand Prix!
Yeah,
it was. Right, so welcome back, people. It is the 4th of July. It's Freedom Day!
It is Freedom Day. I mean, not for us yet, but it will be when everyone listens to it.
It's Freedom Day in America. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we're obviously going to do a look back at the Austrian Grand Prix. My sister brought to my attention some notes about the F1 movie premiere and whoever the stylist was for the red carpet. So, but we'll get to that.
Interesting.
Bottas, because who doesn't want to talk about Bottas at the moment for varying reasons?
And obviously for me, the biggest race of the season.
For us Brits, 100%.
And I'd probably still say it's the biggest one on the calendar because it's the OG.
Well, it's the first ever race in Formula One. Was it Silverstone, was it?
We're back on home turf for the Brits, but for the rest of the world, it is Silverstone this weekend.
Indeed.
Exciting. So before we get started, who the fuck is styling the drivers?
So I don't know if we're going to chuck any of these on images for us to look at, but let's go through and talk about real quick.
Right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put these in the edit.
Yeah.
So why does his suit's too big?
we'll go through quickly on these, but yeah. The French and the Argentinian.
Classics.
Yeah. Work well. Toto, obviously.
Toto never looks... Toto,
yeah.
Toto's a weapon. Isaac Hajar, the suit looks too big, mate.
But other than, if his suit was actually fitted for him, considering like his one of the team's leading sponsors is Hugo Boss, you'd think.
Yeah, they'd smash it.
Yeah.
Hamilton. Lewis looks fly as fuck.
Always. Gabriel Bortoletto. Yeah.
Do you know what I understand though? They've all rocked up in trainers.
Mm.
Actually, go back to Lewis.
Lewis is in... then again, his shoes look like he's borrowed them off his dad. It's the only way I can describe him.
He's in them shit flickers, you know.
Yeah.
He's in shit flickers.
But Lawson's shoes, what's that about? Like, we're just throwing a bit of... there you go, Esteban Ocon again.
Esteban Ocon looks like he should be James Bond, you know.
I think Isaac Hajar is the only Frenchman who hasn't turned up bang on. But hey-ho.
Carlos Sainz looks smooth as fuck, you know.
Always.
Charles Leclerc looks like...
Yeah, so...
He looks like he's about to go play some World Series poker.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's been some questionable things. But, my sister brought it to the attention for now, you guys too, that the F1 movie premiere and all the people that just... Yeah, if you just look at some of the red carpet outfits, it's a bit wild. I know that's not something we usually dig into on the
podcast,
but... Can I
be honest,
though?
I will say, generally speaking, like... Movie premieres, people are always like going in like mad outfits.
People want to stand out, don't they? That's all.
The thing is, it's also like the fashion designers, like they want to make a statement, to make something that's going to get
the statement that you don't know how to measure someone's fucking measurements.
Well, the statement is there's no such thing as bad PR.
Evidently, we're talking about it. Anyway, exactly. Moving on to Formula One things. So, F1 news, obviously.
The big one this week.
Yeah, Toto's obviously in talks with Max Verstappen. My dad made a joke of saying, the talks was, can you stop crashing into my drivers, please?
Obviously a bit of a joke. Obviously, I've got to be very careful with Max Verstappen this week.
Oh, yeah. But we won't get into that.
We won't get into that one, but yeah. I'm going to stop it. This is my podcast. I can say whatever I want on this one.
This is...
fuck you, Verstappen.
This is one of those things that where everyone's like, ooh.
Can I be honest, though? Whether you like Verstappen or not, who do you think is going to get switched over? What driver? Oh, I think it's George. George will go.
George won't want to be on the same team as Verstappen. So I've said this from day one. And in the grand scheme of things, Verstappen is a more valuable driver than George is.
He is. He's a better performing driver. He'll attract even bigger sponsors because he's Max Verstappen.
Exactly.
He'll sort of nurture Kimi into being a stronger second driver and then potentially world champion. Or it could be the other way around, that even though Max will be the lead driver, to get Kimi to a position where he can be a lead.
Yeah, I agree. Where will George go? That's the question. Would he go to Aston Martin? Would he go to Red Bull? Where would he go?
Would he go back to Williams? Would he go to Audi or Cadillac?
Yeah, that's...
Would he take a risk with a new team? It's all up for speculation.
Well, apparently, if Verstappen gets one more race finish outside of P6,
yeah,
his clause on his Red Bull contract says that he can leave after this season if he wants to. So that's... I don't know whether it's P3 or P6, but I'm certain it's P6. But yeah, that's
also a thing. This is what you call a real homie. Literally found another one bottle with my name on it. Okay. Never found one footman. There's 27 grams of sugar in this. Holy shit.
That's a lot.
No, there isn't. There's 27 grams. Fuck me, there is.
Per 100 mil?
Per 250 mil. Lord Jesus Christ.
So there's like 50 grams of sugar. Nice.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, bouncing my head off.
I'm just going to jump over the one point because we'll come back to that in a minute.
It's...
go on.
Obviously, so, but I feel we spoke about George. So, as I diverge, going back into the George thing.
Yeah.
And I mentioned about Cadillac, but obviously, as well, that brings us on to the next point very nicely.
Yes.
Now, I haven't seen Cadillac's potential livery leak. However, there was somebody in F1 last night at the sprint in Cadillac's endurance racing merch. And I saw it and I thought first they're wearing the Apex Racing.
Yeah, but it's
not. No, it wasn't. It was a Cadillac. And I was like, you know what? That black and gold, if their merch looks like that, I can get behind that because I'll be so card.
This is not official. This is a leak or whatever. But
we'll put these photos in.
But if you look, what's that number on the front of the car? Bottas's number.
Ooh.
So, jumping over that one point,
sorry,
which we'll
I haven't
come back
to
here.
Today, by the way.
So, I pulled this from Formula News Today's YouTube channel. I haven't watched the video. Literally, what I'm about to read is the description for the video that they posted on Monday. But Valtteri Bottas could be in Formula One sooner than expected, as Alpine has emerged as the leading candidate to sign the 10-time race winner if they decide to move on from Colapinto. The Argentinian driver is underwhelming in its stint with Alpine so far, and the attitude of the team has been quite clear. We're going to change drivers until we find the right one. Sounds very Red Bull to me, but hey.
I was about to say, have they employed Christian Horner?
So will Bottas be in an F1 car for the remainder of 2025? And if so, how will this affect his planned Cadillac stint?
Also, how does that work with Mercedes as well? Do they have to pay Mercedes for the driver? Because obviously he's officially Mercedes' third driver.
Yeah, but he's also McLaren's third driver and Alpine's third driver. And to be honest, I think he's been around the grid more than... I was going to make some shady comments there, but I didn't...
Rise above it.
Been round the grid a bit, he has. That's the polite way to put it. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I think Mercedes might hold the majority of the leeway.
Because a lot of the PR stuff you see with Bottas is with the Mercedes, with no other team. It's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, I really want to see Bottas back in the seat because he's got it in him. It's like...
I saw the Uber car share ad for Australia again the other day that he did, and I watched it.
Please bring Danny Rick back, even if it's just for really one funny season. Like, the PR alone would be absolutely incredible.
Well, funnily enough, I saw a video of Danny Rick meeting a kid at a race. It must have been at Austria, but this kid asked him, was like, so Cadillac then? And he's like, no. Same thing that he says every time someone asks him that question. He's like, no, I'm done with Formula One now.
It's one of them ones though where, like, it could all be a PR stunt. We'll find out, I guess, when they announce their teams.
We will find out.
But yeah, obviously.
Well, before jumping into that, the point that we just jumped over. So there's been rumours that Apple are in talks about an F1 movie sequel already. With it being the highest grossing Apple Studios or Apple Cinema thing movie post-COVID. So they're kind of like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
How would they sequel that? I reckon they'd focus on, because I reckon Brad Pitt would be like, nah. But the guy that played Joshua Pierce,
yeah,
I think he'd focus maybe on him. Again, we don't want to dive into spoilers of it just yet, but
it's a really hard one to call, isn't it? Like, I mean,
it doesn't end with a sequel in mind, does it?
So. I also wish that it wasn't Apple who did the film, to be honest.
Yeah.
My biggest criticism of that film, and I don't want to get into too much, but it's a very common knowledge one now, and we can talk a bit more about it now because more people have seen the film. There is way too much fucking product placement in that movie.
Yeah.
There are, like, I understand films have product placement, but holy shit, and we're going to talk formally about that next week. So if you haven't seen it by next week, tough shit. But yeah, moving on to the Austrian Grand Prix. I'm not going to lie, I really enjoyed the race.
It was a really good race, mate. Like I've always said, with most Formula One races, it's usually the first 10, 15 laps interesting. The middle of it,
dead.
And then the whole race was just good. Yeah.
There was consistent racing happening. I mean, obviously the McLarens were battling it out again.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, before we dive fully into the race, some mentions in interesting things that happened in the practice session. So Piastri ended up in the gravel. Obviously, he had a moment in FP3 where he ran over the gravel at turn 9, causing minor floor damage to his McLaren, which required some patchwork repairs, according to a McLaren statement that was.
Bit of gaff tape, mate.
Yeah.
No, you know what it was? Phil Swift made an appearance with flex tape.
I'm surprised Flex Tape hasn't tried to sponsor a Formula One team.
Can I be honest? I probably haven't got the money.
Yeah.
No, the Flex Tape had a Formula One. Flex Tape is NASCAR.
NASCAR.
Flex Tape is 100% NASCAR. Like, nah, Dakar.
Dakar.
Dakar is a Flex Tape sport.
Pretty much every driver had some run-ins with track limits through all of the practice sessions. So we'll just glaze over that. Bortoletto in the Sauber continued.
You know what? Sauber this weekend were on fire.
Yeah.
Absolutely on fucking fire. Like Bortoletto and Hülkenberg. I actually feel that Bortoletto probably deserved driver of the day now.
Yeah, I think he got a driver of the day.
I'm not sure.
Google it. On Bortoletto, he was consistently in practice anyway, lapping inside the top 10. Lance Stroll of one always
I want to speak about Lance in qualifying because he had a fucking good qualifying session.
I think I made a note of that.
Yeah, but obviously again looking good in practice, but for me, isn't that showing now the input that's starting to happen from Newey?
Yeah,
that Aston Martin's getting quicker and Red Bull's getting slower.
Well, Stroll showed a strong performance in practice, setting the fourth fastest time in FP2, and he went eighth in FP3. So, yeah, Aston Martin was strong candidates for Q3, which obviously we're going to get into now. So
before we move on to qualifying sessions, I just need to take a phone call. So we're going to transition and pretend this never happened.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1, go. So qualifying.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to take a phone call.
Significant incident occurred in Q2 when Lewis Hamilton's Ferrari triggered a small grass fire by the edge of the track caused by the titanium skid blocks. This led to a red flag and a temporary halt to the session. So that kind of happened. Honest,
do you know if I ever caused the grass fire if I was in Formula One? I'd want Pitbull to be in the my pit garage. Fireball. Just do fireball.
Well, there you go. There's that. Norris's
dominant Dominic.
Norris's dominant pole position.
I will say that qualifying lap he put in Q1.
Q3.
Q3 even.
Yeah.
Q3. Like, fuck me, he was, hang on, I can tell you the lap time that he even put in. Give me a second.
Well, he was over half a second to Leclerc, who placed P2, and that officially marks.
Don't know if I'm showing you this. I'm working on. Little web tool that's coming to us. Yes, yeah, so Lando's qualifying pace was 1:03.971.
And what was Leclerc's?
1:04.492.
There you go. So that officially marks the biggest pole margin of the season so far. That's a big deal.
Look, and there's just tens of seconds between Piastri and then it's, gosh, the gap from Piastri to Hamilton was tiny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what it gets onto now. So, Pierre Gasly's spin that happened during Q3.
Pirouetted.
Yeah. So, Pierre Gasly spun at the final corner during Q3, causing a yellow flag, and this disrupted the flying laps of several drivers, including Piastri, Max Verstappen, who had to abort their attempts.
You know what, though? It's one of them ones where, I remember watching that in quali, and when Gasly spun out, I was like, fuck me! I thought his car was going to be done, I thought he was going to be stopped from the pit lane.
Yeah.
And, he caught it and pulled it back. So, Pierre Gasly, someone needs to buy you a beer, not me, because you're richer than me. But one of the Formula One drivers.
Buy him a fucking beer, man.
Somebody buy him a beer or buy him a bottle of champagne, you rich bastard.
It ain't going to be Piastri or Verstappen, though, is it? Verstappen's frustration at P7, he was obviously unhappy with his car's performance, stating that it was completely undrivable at one point. This is in qualifying. This happened many times during the race as well.
Really, oh, yeah. I feel that's been sort of the running message throughout the whole of this season with Verstappen. And it's a sign, again, that Newey's gone.
Yeah, that the Red Bull car's a bag of shit.
The Red Bull car is undrivable.
So another horrible fact about qualifying and at Austria was Sainz's Q1 exit, the third consecutive race qualifying session that he's been out. So he also reported possible damage to his car, expressing frustration with its handling. And that makes sense. And then
obviously his race though, which we'll talk about later on.
Yeah.
But I really feel for Sainz, because Sainz has really got in it, has got it in him to be a champion.
Well, the start, before we got into the season, it looked really promising for him with how fast he was in the Williams. And then it seems like as soon as the season started, it's been straight downhill for him. So he's going to be I feel like it's not gone his way in the slightest, has it?
No, and it's a shame for him because, again, last year in Ferrari really showed his potential of what he had, and I really feel for him. And I want to see him on a better team, on a team that can actually, that will support him.
Or just a better car.
Yeah, or a better car. He'd be a good one to go to Aston Martin.
I never thought about it, but wholeheartedly agree.
100%.
Yeah.
Like Carlos and George and Aston.
Yeah, that'd be a
fucking serious team. Because they're both, George can be a little bit hot-headed, but not massively. Carlos only gets hot-headed when it's real bad.
Yeah.
But they'd bring both of their knowledges from being at other teams to Aston Martin with Newey and Honda engines. Oh my God, mate, that needs to happen.
It needs to happen. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I mean,
Sam's hot take.
Don't wrong, I will say, speaking of Aston Martin though, Alonso has been going beast mode. For me, it showed he's the old boy on the grid.
Well, he was racing Bortoletto in the last couple of laps as well, weren't he? So, and he's, Bortoletto was racing Alonso, and Alonso's Bortoletto's manager. So it's like, woohoo. But it was a fun thing to watch.
I didn't know that Alonso's Bortoletto's manager.
Yeah.
Mad. Yeah. But it's one of those ones where it's kind of, it shows that, how old's Alonso? 41?
I've always liked 44, to be fair, but he could be 40. I don't know. 40s.
He's in his 40s. And it's showing that, Lewis is in his 40s as well, but it's showing that Alonso he's still got it in him.
Yeah.
100%. He's still got it in him. He's the old boy on the grid, but he's still...
He's not giving up, has he?
He ain't giving up. He's still got that fight and that drive in him, which...
So,
also,
go on.
Before we go on to, obviously, we've got the last couple of things. I know I said about Lance Stroll, and we joke a lot about Lance on this, but I actually kind of root for him because I'm like, everyone is against him. And he got podiums at Williams and everything. But again, in Q3, he put in two perfect sectors.
This is the thing that I agree with you, exactly what you're saying. And just to reiterate that point. So you saw the video that I posted on my Instagram of my nephew driving his Formula One car and crashing it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had three people message me saying, two things. It was either one of two things. One was he drives just like his uncle. And the other thing was, we have a young Lance Stroll in the making. And I'm like,
I mean, both are very valid, to be fair. He just drives like you and just crashes into everything.
Yeah. At least he crashes properly, though. You know what I said? He's got the Formula One car crash nailed, because if you watch that video, he lets go of the steering wheel. Smart.
He's like, take that, take the wheel, Jesus.
Yeah. 5-point harness. I don't need to hold on. That's what it is.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You need to get me a little hands device.
So, obviously, with Gasly's spin, we've spoke about Verstappen's.
Yeah, we spoke about signs.
But Piastri, obviously, he was compromised. He was on a strong lap and set to challenge Norris for pole, but he was unable to start his flying lap due to the yellow flag caused by Gasly. Ultimately, ending up with, pardon me, P3. So, yeah.
Then, obviously, there was the unsafe release of George Russell as well, which will be investigated after qualifying.
I don't actually know what the his ultimate qualifying position was unaffected. So, yeah, I assume that's the outcome.
Jane, pretty good. I mean, obviously, so the actual race, holy fuck.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we've got to talk about Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, there's not that much noted, really, because I feel like there's a lot for us to talk about on each thing. So,
Carlos Sainz straight at the gate. So, he did the Sonny, what's his name?
Sonny Hayes.
Sonny Hayes.
Yeah.
Like, that I was getting first gear.
We'll elaborate more on that soon.
I feel that meme's gone around a lot, and everyone who's watched the four, I'll be honest, when I watched the race, that's the first thing that came into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we spoke earlier in the pod about signs and everything, but I fucking felt for him, you know, because he has had nothing but issues over the last couple of races with that car.
It was the nail in the coffin, weren't it? And obviously, there was, well, it caused him to not start the race. And again, not jumping too far ahead, but Albon with a DNF as well. So it was a no-pointer for Williams this weekend. But yeah, I do feel really bad for Sainz.
Yeah, it's a real difficult one. Like, I really fell for him. I mean, and then obviously when they got him going, literally with a push start.
Yeah.
And he went and did it. And you know what? He fucking did a fast formation lap as well.
Yeah, just needed a bump. That's all it was.
Yeah. But then obviously, I can't remember what... after the end of his formation lap, he went into the pits, didn't he?
I think he was forced.
Yeah.
I think he had to because of the start.
Yeah.
Because of
Then obviously he came out of the pits and it was... and his brakes were on fire, weren't they?
Yeah, he went to the pit... Not entry, well, the pit exit, yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think what the opposite to entry was.
Because for me, the funniest thing, that whole part, was like they run over with fire extinguishers and there was the guy who had the cooling.
The blower, the little blower.
He was like a frigging leaf blower. He was like, fucking hell,
that was definitely for one of the air ducts or something. Yeah, and it's like just fire, blow it out.
That'll do it, like not realising that at this moment in time, you're just adding more oxygen into a fire.
I was thinking that, but it seemed to have done the trick, so...
Well, it just made me laugh that the guy who had the CO2 fire extinguisher literally just yeeted him out of the way and was like, psh!
Yeah.
Honestly, mate, like...
So the TLDR of that is Sainz didn't start the race and his brakes caught on fire.
Yeah, basically. But you know, lap one, obviously...
Well, the whole start of the race.
Oh, what a start to the race.
Fucking fantastic start from everyone.
Piastri's move as well from P3 to P2.
Yeah.
Like, McLaren as a team at the minute, they are unbelievable.
Unstoppable.
Like, and the thing that, like, I know there's the whole papaya rules thing and and they shouldn't really race each other. If you are going to race, you should race each other clean.
Yeah.
But they're still pushing each other. But to be honest, it's like they're pushing each other.
When it's a P1, P2, I feel like if I was team principal, I would be like, you've got P1, P2.
Just hold it clean.
You don't need to race. Like, yes, if one of you is significantly faster or one of you's got worse
better pace,
like tyre dig or things like that, then yeah, swap positions, don't race. You don't need to race in P1, P2. If it's like battle for the points, like P10, P11 or like P7, P6, fair enough.
Yeah,
but P1,
race.
P2, like yeah, you don't... You're risking a lot for what is it, 8 points? 7-8 points difference, I think.
Yeah.
18, 25, 7, yeah. 7 points. Really? What's it worth? So yeah, that's my hot take.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. But honestly,
Oh, it was going
into
fantastic
turn one,
to watch.
Absolute fucking gone.
The whole thing was...
They were like just gone. But was, yeah, obviously we had the thing that I feel probably excited a few too many people, a bit too much, including me and you.
Oh, yeah.
Was the rookie. You know, though, you watch it back and...
Have you seen that Marge Simpson meme where she's like, "Bop!" And then it's like... I'm right here. And it's like, oh, I just assumed it was you. And it's the same thing. It was like, George! And it's like, oh, it wasn't George. It was Kimi. Oh.
Honestly, I fell for Kimi then.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? The way Verstappen conducted himself in that situation, that for me makes me feel like he's definitely going to Mercury. It's in serious talks.
I just think the thing that tickled me, so for our listeners that haven't watched the race and don't know what we're on about, because we didn't actually say what happened. So,
we're on about the crash between Kimi and Verstappen.
I'm pretty sure anyone who's listened to this knows already. But yeah, so Kimi just went straight into the side of Verstappen.
Yeah, literally like sideswiped
it. Like,
to be fair, you saw him trying to turn. His car was like, yeah, nah, I'm just going forwards.
If you, the first angle that I think everybody saw it at where Kimi just went straight into the side of Verstappen, it was like, whoa, what the fuck? And then like you watch the onboard and you see, and he's like, shit.
He's trying his hardest to get it to turn, and the car's just like, yeah, I'm just going forwards.
Yeah, so it looks intentional at first glance, but then when you watch it back from the car,
I will say, you look at it though, it's one of those ones where with Verstappen, like, Verstappen normally infamously kicks off at people and they do that, or or storms off.
Well, the thing I found the most entertaining about the whole thing is after that incident, how long Kimi kept his helmet on for. Because like Verstappen's helmet was off and you could see he was angry, but he was relatively composed with how angry he was.
Yeah, like he went straight over to Kimi, he was like, it is what, don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. But like Kimi's there, like just walking back with the stewards, like with his helmet still on. Because I reckon he was terrified that Verstappen was going to come for him or something. Rightly so, I would be, because Kimi's... Well, the height difference is quite a bit, isn't it?
Kimi's tiny, you know.
Yeah.
He's a tiny gentleman.
So that was...
But yeah, honestly, like, I have got to give it to Max on that one, though. Like
they cleared it up quick as well, didn't they? Yeah, I know there weren't a lot of damage on the track, but literally, both cars were gone.
Yeah, it was done in...
So that happened at, what, turn three, lap one, and the safety car was back in at the end of lap three. So,
that'd
be about 3-4 minutes.
Yeah, three minutes.
It was quick.
To get two cars off the track.
I did think that it was relatively fast with how quick you saw the Red Bull on the crane. That kind of caught me off guard a bit. So, yeah, fair play to him on that.
Yeah, it blows my mind how they lift Formula One cars.
Just straight through the fucking intake.
Yeah, and just up.
Yeah.
Imagine lifting a car, like a normal car, that way.
I watched one of my Hondas got lifted through the roof, through both windows and up at the roof. That was an experience. I mean, it wasn't fit for the road anymore, so it didn't matter if they broke it. But yeah, but it didn't even buckle. Lifted it that way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Honda.
Honda.
But yeah, moving swiftly on, obviously we had...
Next entertaining thing, really, is lap 9 when Alexander Albon overtook Pierre Gasly for P6.
Obviously taking very much advantage of Gasly's... Is it Gasly's?
Yeah, yeah.
Gasly's tire degradation.
Obviously, we got the battle for the lead with Piastri using his DRS to overtake Norris around the Remus hairpin. Immediately after, Norris drafted past him on the uphill and reclaimed P1 at turn four. I think that was the only time when they were battling where Piastri actually had the lead as well.
Yeah.
Which kills me to say, but Norris fought fierce and held it, and his P1 paid off. So
yeah, exactly.
Bortoletto took P7 with a pass on Gasly. Piastri made an aggressive move into turn four, locking up and narrowly avoiding Norris. Looks like an opposite version of a flashback to last week. Not last week, the week before. I reckon he was trying to get his own back, but no, he didn't hit him, luckily. So
yeah. Did you hear, and I'm not sure when it was, but I swear to God, it was like Aston Martin called one of the guys at the McLaren and was like, can you tell your drivers to stop lapping us, or to not lap us, just so we can have another go at this overtake? Because Alonso was like on fire.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
I can't remember who told me that, but I was like, I was like, that is fucking madness, you know.
There is a note here at lap 69 for that, I think. So,
but yeah, obviously moving further on.
Lap 31 we'll jump to.
Yeah, but it's all pretty tame there. But yeah, obviously another midfield accident with Yuki Tsunoda and Franco Colapinto. Tell us about it, Dom.
Yeah, so Tsunoda tried to pass Colapinto and spun him out at Schlossgold. Both continued, but Tsunoda received his 10-second time penalty for that. So that was...
Not Esteban Ocon?
No, not Esteban Ocon. Yeah, that was... I looked back at first watch, it was kind of like that... The Antonelli and Verstappen thing where it's like he did that on purpose, and then you look back and you go, okay. And it was the same thing with Tsunoda and Colapinto, where at first I was like, that was Sonoda's fault, and then I watched it back again, it was like, no, that was Colapinto's fault.
No, that's
so yeah, Colapinto, as much as fun as his name is to say, I don't think he's got a lot in Formula One now, in all honesty.
No, kind I agree. I
shot himself up a bit.
I feel his days are numbered, you know, in Formula One. Obviously, like 52, Norris does his second pit for medium tyres and rejoins still ahead of Piastri, followed on the next lap.
Yeah, so pit stop with Piastri.
There was some bad pit stops for McLaren this weekend.
I was going to say that pit stop was the bad one for Piastri.
It was front left. Whoever is on front left is definitely either been bollocked or
P45
got
in the post. The whole blue flag incident as well, with Piastri closed in but was held up by the back markers of Tsunoda and Colapinto. Colapinto again squeezed him wide under Remus, earning a 5-second penalty for forcing Piastri off. That was the 5-second penalty for Colapinto. So
yeah,
two time penalties on the race that we got.
Obviously, lap 52-60 was the blue flag stuff I was talking about, I believe.
Look, that's literally what I just said. That one. We're on 64.
You know, mate, I disconnected for a second.
It's all right.
I'm not gonna lie, mate. I'm working that hard at the minute, mate, and it's that warmest shit in here.
Yeah.
That I'm just gonna keep fucking disconnecting. I'm just destroyed. Anyway, right. Closing laps, Piastri's pace burned through the final stint. The gap hovered around 1.8 seconds, but he couldn't trigger DRS.
Yeah,
again.
So the last couple of laps with Piastri fighting for it, I think you can see he basically like give it everything he got. And then his engineer must have said something to him and be like, you're not going to catch him. Like, the only way you're going to catch him and get ahead is if he makes a big mistake. And you're just going to burn yourself out doing it. So just lay low, you've got enough, kind of. That's what I reckon the conversation was.
Yeah, of course, which obviously brings us to the end of the race with Lando celebrating.
Well, as you were talking about, Norris almost tangling with...
Sorry, my apologies. Can I ask? Can you... Double line space.
Yes.
One. Thank you so much. I'm dyslexic as fuck when it comes to reading. I am not afraid to admit that. And like, Dom works really hard on doing these notes, and sometimes my eyes get lost on the page.
It's all good. Lap 69. I thought that number would get your
giggity
attention.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
Do you want to take it?
Norris almost tangled with lapped. Can you read that? Because
Norris almost tangled with a lapped Alonso while keeping Piastri at bay. So that's basically...
Yeah, basically what we spoke about and...
Aston Martin getting pissed off. I didn't know that happened. That's
yeah. I will say, I guarantee it just made me laugh. You know, like when, I can't think, it was about mid-race when the two McLarens were really pushing each other.
Mm.
And it just cut to the pit wall of Andrea...
Andrea Stella, and he's just... There, and you like, can see the sweat beading down, and he's like...
He's like, I swear to God, I'm going to fucking kill both of these fuckers. We don't need to race right now. We're in P1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like, get their fucking egos out. But yeah, obviously notable events. Norris successfully converted pole position into a flawless pace under immense pressure. I'm assuming that was meant to say into a victory. Because it feels unfinished, that sentence, but we're going to roll with that. McLaren secured a dominant 1-2 finish, shifting the momentum in both drivers' and constructors' championships. Who's currently leading now in the points then? Have we got that?
It's still Piastri, I believe.
Yeah.
I'll pull that up when we go through. I'll pull it up on my phone. But
however, I feel
McLaren and Piastri, they're still top of the Constructors and Drivers' Championship.
Obviously, we've got a couple of little bits about Verstappen. Verstappen's crash ended his 31 race scoring streak and severely dented his title chances. In the midfield battles, Tsunoda and Colapinto both received penalties, while Bortoleto scored his first F1 points.
So it's not just him with the securing points for the team, yeah.
Like, I really do feel, you know, like, it's good to see the potential of what Kick Saber can be, because they've always been the laughing stock of the grid, and it's great to see them actually being a dominant, being a potential threat to teams.
They're doing better than, they're not doing better than Williams are, because Williams have had their best season to date so far. I think they scored more points this season.
So is Kick Saber now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think every team is in the points.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that statement.
We also have a final closing statement of the actual race before we get into race results, our predictions, and the next race, and we're going to have a little chat about that as well.
Oh, there's still some more to talk about. So,
we've got a comment from your lovely nephew, which is, how old is Miles now?
Three years old.
So this comment came from a three-year-old.
He said, Max Verstappen is naughty because he crashes into George Russell. Boo. Those were his exact words. Even though he didn't crash into George Russell.
And Lando's officially ended his trophy-smashing streak, maybe because it's Ward.
So for those that didn't catch that, yeah, Lando's not smashing up his trophies anymore.
Right, rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, hang on, you skipped past one of the most important things of the race.
And is Lawson's best career finish ever?
P6 in Formula 1. That was his
in an RB. But the problem ain't the car.
Nah.
It's not the car, Red Bull.
Well, definitely not. It comes to something when he's finishing ahead of Tsunoda in the Red Bull, and he's anyway,
it's hilarious, right? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay, you can take the odds. Right. So, Austria post race results are as follows.
In P1,
you meant to?
No, I was just setting you up.
You're taking the odds?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the odds. Sorry. In P1, Lando Norris. Okay, I'm not doing that voice.
P2, Oscar Piastri.
P3 was Charles Leclerc.
P4 in the Ferrari, Lewis Hamilton.
You know what? I really thought that it could have been either of them, you know, in P3.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
P5 was George Russell.
P6 in the RB, Liam Lawson.
P7... granddad of the grid, Alonso.
The granddad of the grid, I like that one. P8, Gabriel Bortoleto.
P9, Hülkenberg.
Both Sabres in the points.
I know.
In the top 10, what the hell. P10, Esteban Ocon.
P11, Ollie Bearman.
P12, Isaac Ajar.
P13, Pierre Gasly.
P14, Lance Stroll.
P15, Franco Colapinto.
P16, the last finisher of the race, Yuki Tsunoda.
P17, with a DNF, Alexander Albon.
Verstappen, P18.
P19, Kimi Antonelli.
And last but certainly not least, but first to DNF, I suppose, Carlos Sainz.
Right, let's talk about race predictions. So I said Piastri, Verstappen, Russell. I was fucking miles off.
Yes. So
you said Piastri, Russell, Norris. You were also miles fucking off.
Yeah.
So no points to me and you. Your dad.
So my dad got 1 point because
he got Piastri.
Yeah. So he said Russell, Piastri, Verstappen. He's the closest one out of all of us, though.
He was. To be honest, like, if me and you would have switched the drivers over, we would have both been in 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just looking at that and going, oh, yeah.
Right, so next race, we're on home turf.
We are on home turf. I haven't put any thought into my prediction whatsoever.
I've got a good feeling.
Before we jump into our predictions, shall we have a quick gloss through the driver standings?
Not really.
Okay. Well, it's worth mentioning that
What's changed?
The gap between Piastri and Norris. So obviously the McLarens are top of the field.
Yes.
And there's 15 points between them. So Oscar's 15 points ahead. So Piastri's on 216. Norris is on 201. Verstappen is on 155, and then right behind him on 146 is George Russell. So I think if Russell finishes in P6 or higher, I think it would be.
And he's going to be third in the championship.
And Verstappen finishes outside of the points, be that for whatever reason, then, yeah, it's pretty much game over for Verstappen in the title hopes. Well, anywhere near that anyway. And the Ferraris have Leclerc with 119 points in fifth and Hamilton with 91 in sixth. So it's not all that.
Our next race predictions on home turf.
Yeah.
Now, Silverstone is always an unpredictable race because we, especially British weather, now it could rain on the weekend.
Well, with the heat that we've had for however long.
We are due a fucking big fuck off storm.
We are due a fucking shit show with some rain for sure. So,
like I can feel it brewing.
I mean, it's cooled down a bit today. It's still 19 degrees.
Mate, 2 days ago it was 36 degrees, mate. I was literally sweating my bollocks off.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I'm going.
Go on.
Norris in P1.
Oi.
I'm still going to be basic and put Piastri in P2.
Okay.
I'm going to put Hamilton in P3.
Okay, good.
Because, and the reason why, and it, I wanted to put Hamilton on P1 because it's Silverstone.
Well,
no one knows Silverstone better than Hamilton.
Apart from last season, every year for the past 10 years, so I think it's 2014 to 2013 to 2023, Hamilton's finished on the podium.
Did he win it last year?
I don't know. No, I think it was Russell last year. No, it was Norris, weren't it? It was a British driver. It was someone. I really don't know.
I'm Googling this.
Sam's Googling it. Google it, Sam. So,
2024 Grand Prix was Lewis Hamilton.
Oh. So where did I pull? I saw something earlier. Maybe it was from 2015 to 2025.
You know what I was going to say? Because it was Hamilton.
No, 2024.
Because it was a wet race. It was a wet race. I remember Clarkson saying before the race started, he said it's a wet race at Silverstone. He went, so it's going to be the old boys who will have the advantage today. He said, I'm putting Lewis in to win it.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, British drivers, we've got Norris, Hamilton, Russell, Behrman. So that's
four. I feel we're going to see Hamilton on the podium. But anyway, who are you putting in?
I think I might go in that order, you know. I think I might... I'm going to match it. I'm going to say Norris in P1. As much as I don't want it to be personally, I'm not going to lie.
Hey, he ain't that bad. It can be a knob, but he ain't that bad. You know, we all just hate the person who's winning.
I'm going to say Norris or... I don't know whether to go Russell Hamilton or Hamilton Russell.
What's your heart saying?
Hamilton, yeah.
Go on, lad.
Norris, Hamilton, and then Russell. Oh, shit. No, that's in the wrong spot. I put the wrong one in.
So, you know what, for this race?
Yeah.
Really spice things up, right?
Mm.
If Hamilton gets on the podium, whichever place he is on the podium, whether it's P2 or P3, instead of it being 1 point, because it's Hamilton at Silverstone, it's 5 points.
Okay.
Put that on the spreadsheet as a note. Just because that can throw anyone up.
I'll just put Ham equals 5 points.
Only for Silverstone. So we've got Miles.
But in fact, why don't we just make it a rule across all of the races where the home driver, if you get the home driver right, that equals 5 points going on from this race.
Yeah, going on from this race. That's a good shade. It's a good shade because that...
Because it's a bit of a...
Anyway, so we've got Miles' prediction this week rather than Paul's.
Yeah, we basically asked... Miles, who's going to win? And he was like, Lando Norris. And then he's like, George Russell. And then Max Verstappen. And so.
You know, it's not a bad grid for a 3-year-old.
That's what my 3-year-old nephew predicted. And when he said that, my dad went, that's what my dad's taking as his predictions. So it's Miles' predictions this week instead of my dad's.
We don't have a page about Silverstone?
No, because Silverstone.
It is Silverstone.
So
the race is at 2 p.m., I believe.
The race is at 2 p.m.
I think that's his British summertime.
No, it's 3 p.m.
3 p.m. British summertime.
3 p.m. 6th of July.
I'll see at Formula One at 1 o'clock because I'm there now. Won't be there because it is a sellout show. So if you are coming, we should run a shitload of box stickers.
Could do.
Maybe. If we have time.
I'm going to seriously see if I can get some kind of work at Silverstone. I'm going for it. Like every opportunity, I've emailed, I've LinkedIn'd, I've done everything so far. I haven't heard anything back yet, but you know,
it's probably. You never know. I'll be honest, it's probably already fully populated by now.
You say that they're still hiring hospitality staff.
That's wild. You know?
I don't think I could do that.
That is wild.
Although I could like go for the job role and then just not do the job. What are they going to do? Sack me? I'm already there.
It's true. You just go and hide. But yeah,
it's okay. Just don't pay me. Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, honestly, like it's one of those ones where I'm so excited. I mean, I love Silverstone. I feel Silverstone is one of the best tracks on the season as well. It's
one of the few tracks on the calendar that has appeared every single.
I'll tell you. So speaking to Jack, obviously he's got F125.
Mm.
You can drive Silverstone in reverse.
In reverse,
and apparently, like it is so much more fun.
We'll have to blast it out. We're getting fairly close to the season break, and we're
both
we're going to have some time playing that game. I think
also the podcast may have a break in that season break.
Yeah, I think
because I'm not going to like 24 episodes of this every week on top of everything that we do. I've realised that every podcast it has about a 2 week break, and I think that's a good time to do it. It's in the season break. We'll try and record some episodes.
Like I was going to say, reckon we can get some,
content out, but it might not be the freshest. It might be like catch-up episodes and like just us chatting about the season so far, because I'm not going to lie,
education
I'm tired,
station
Dom's
lessons.
Tired. The, like running podcasts, they're hard work.
They are hard work,
and I really didn't realise how much work it is going into it, but we're still going to do it again next year.
Yeah, definitely.
It's 100%.
If anything, it just brings us a little bit closer to the sport, doesn't it?
And we
have to think, I don't mean it in like a bad way, but we have to think a lot more into things and be like, oh, well, actually, yeah, like, it makes your brain work a bit harder, but in a good way.
And also, it is the end of this set.
Yeah.
Next time you see it, hopefully.
It'll be different.
It'll be...
Different. Different.
Different.
Different.
The sofa's not going anywhere. This sofa's iconic.
Oh, yeah, we can't get rid of the sofa.
But but we won't be like sat low down in it.
No.
But it'll actually be raised up on like a comfortable height where we're not
first
night
dying. Raise me up. Sit on sofas. Yeah.
So like a DFS episode. Avert. But yeah, I think, Dom, that's pretty much it for this week's episode.
That's it. It's been sensational. Yeah. Yeah,
I had an existential crisis then that I didn't click record.
I just looked at you then and you looked so concerned and I was like, what? And I was like, no.
No, we're good. Dom, right. Where can we find you?
You can find me at DJ Dom Cook on things.
You can find me at Sentio Silvano again on
things.
Where can we find the podcast?
You can find the pod at BoxBoxBoxPod.
On things. Except for X, which was our handle on X?
I don't think I've done one.
We still keep meaning to put content out. As I said, I think in that 2 week gap, we're probably just going to schedule
a
metric shit ton of content. Also, this set isn't the best for doing content into the new one will look unreal.
Yeah, I've been smashing some stuff together so far. So there's... I am doing something. I just have nothing to show for it just yet.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Anyway, thank you so much as always for listening.
It's been a journey. We'll be back next week talking about, obviously, Silverstone. And then the week after, I think we're going to dig deep into the F1 movie and do a full, absolutely every spoiler you can think of review. So
brace yourself.
You got 2 more weeks for that, I think.
Other than that, I've been Sam.
I've been Dom.
Thanks so much for watching and listening to Box, Box, Box.
See you next time. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.